Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 84. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my recovering from a bad night of sleep co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. This episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform. I will tell you more about this complete solution for digital marketing and sales later, but you can check it out and take a free spin for yourself at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. Johnny, wake up.
Oh, geez. We're here. Yeah, man, it's been one of those days. I don't know if it's the snow or if it's just the bad nights of sleep, but are you still not drinking coffee, Jared?
No, I'm back to drinking. I do the half calf coffee, and I do drink that in the morning.
I'm back to that.
Yeah, I like it.
Okay, cool. So, because I was thinking of that today, because I think I had 3 cups or 4 cups of coffee, but it was like, this isn't doing anything. So, and I wonder if Jared is like, because he's also not sleeping very well because he has a young child at home, and he's possibly not drinking coffee too, which...
But I will say, thanks to my wife, I actually get to sleep pretty well. So I can't ask for any sympathy there, because it would be false sympathy.
Well, you weren't getting it, but okay, I was good. Thinking...
Hey, so by the way, I had another cool experience last weekend. I was actually up in Indiana for our second annual meetup for the assembly call. All of our hosts and kind of our team got together, and we got to meet up with the audience, go to a game. It was awesome. And so I tell you this to reiterate, which something, Johnny, is I know that you will agree with this, but any opportunity that you have to get out and meet your audience members in person, it is always, always, always worth it. It was such a fantastic time. And the coolest thing is, like, the entire trip for all of us was basically paid for with donations from people who listen to the podcast. So it was pretty neat to be able to travel up there, you know, stay for a couple nights, go out to this great dinner. It was awesome. It's obviously especially special when it's your audience that believes enough in what you're doing to kind of fund you to go on such a trip, and then they come out and meet you. And so it was great. So any opportunity that you get to ever meet your audience, take it, unquestionably.
That's interesting. So, because you're right, I totally agree with you. But I think it's nerve-wracking, isn't it, to go and have to meet your audience for the first time? Like, it's not nerve-wracking to meet them. I think it's nerve-wracking to put yourself out there to want to meet them, and thinking in the back of your head that nobody's going to want to meet you.
Yes, that is a little bit nerve-wracking. I guess for us, there would have been a benefit to going up there anyway, just because, you know, we all live in separate cities, so it's cool for us to just get together and have dinner and be in the same room and talk about the future of the show. And then, you know, I guess if we schedule the meetup and no one comes, we all just hang out. So we kind of have that to fall back on as a benefit. But fortunately, you know, there were a lot of people who showed up. And so it was, but yeah, anytime you put yourself out there, you're always risking something. But heck, you're risking that exact same thing by putting yourself out there, putting a show out there that no one may listen to. So to me, if you can get past that fear and put your show out there, then if you've developed that relationship with an audience, being able to take it to that next step of meeting people, I mean, it solidifies your connection with those individual people. I think it further solidifies your connection with your entire audience, because they see you, you know, taking that effort to meet. And I think that makes them appreciate you even more. And it just lets you get to know your audience better by actually meeting the real people that are listening. And just, it always raises my enthusiasm when I do it. So,
yeah. I feel like we should do a whole episode on this.
Maybe we should. Maybe we just scrap. Because what we were going to talk about and just talk about this.
I was trying to say that on there. Can we change the topic to this?
Sure.
It would be interesting to like to know sort of what you went through the first time, like if you used any tools, like what are they called? Like Eventbrite, I see done by people because I think it's free or...
No, I did. I mean, I kept it pretty casual, you know? I mean, obviously, we've had a growing email list, and so we let people know what, you know, game we were coming up to. We emailed them the details. Will, who you've gotten to know, who works with us at Rainmaker Digital and has been helping us out with some showrunner stuff, I met him as an intern at the assembly call. He was one of our first interns, and so he still does work with the show. And last year, he went around to some of the bars in Bloomington and worked it out with them and found one that was willing to host. He was one of our first interns, and so he still does work with the show. And last year, he went around to some of the bars in Bloomington and worked it out with them and found one that was willing to host. And so we kind of kept it informal and let people know where to meet up. You know, just sent out an email that said, hey, after the game, we're all going to be there. Come meet us. You know, obviously sent out some tweets about it, and people showed up. This year, I was a little bit more formal by, you know, having a blog post, and then I had a form to fill out so people could RSVP just so that I could let the bar know, kind of have an accurate number of how many people would be there. You know, and a bunch of people RSVP'd. A few people had to email me at the last second to say they couldn't come for this, that, or the other reason. But that was as formal as it got. And I think next year, actually, we're talking about doing a live broadcast. We're going to do it at the same bar for the third straight year and do a live broadcast and probably get more organized with it. You know, probably have some t-shirts and some giveaways and, you know, do some more like that. But we try to just keep it real casual so that it wasn't a big burden on us to plan, so that it wasn't a big burden on people to attend. And I think that helped keep it manageable for us. And I think just kind of kept it as a nice, casual, fun, relaxed atmosphere, which is what we wanted. And that's what it turned out to be. So
that's interesting. Cause I mean, it should be relaxed and casual. I like that aspect of it. I was leaning towards the Eventbrite thing because it tells you, like, people kind of, they give you a commitment for free, but they give you a commitment that they're coming, and then you have an idea of how many are coming. So you can set it up with the, so the bar knows,
and we got that. You know, Rainmaker has forms built into it, and the assembly call site is built on Rainmaker. So I just used one of those forms, and then, you know, went through, had people list how many people were going to come. You know, any comments, and then that gave me a good accurate reflection of how many people would be there.
Oh, so you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I thought you were just emailing, but not even asking for responses or anything. Just kind of.
No,
like,
this year I did. Last year we really didn't. I mean, people responded and said like, "Yeah, we're coming," so we had a general idea. But this year I actually used a form to be a little bit more organized with it, which helped.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool.
Yeah.
Because I need to run another one now that I'm in a new city. I need to run one here locally, and I've just kind of been putting it off. Just, I guess, because I was trying to get my head around the logistics of it, mostly because I don't know the city and I don't know where to host it yet. But,
you know, and there is, I will say this, there's something to be said for being maybe a little bit more organized with it than we were, because the bar that we went to, they had a whole section set up for us. And so, you know, people started trickling in after the game. And it's, the game is about, I don't know, a mile away. And so everybody's going to get there at a little bit of a different time because you get out, then you got to deal with traffic and, you know, different walking speeds and all of that. So we actually, on our way out, we did a Facebook Live video, like our normal post-game show. We had our interns hosting the actual show, but we did a quick little Facebook Live video, so we still were able to get some of our thoughts about the game in there. Because one risk of doing a trip like this is you get so caught up with being there and being with the people who are there in person that you don't share it with the people who aren't there. Which, let me hold that thought because it leads me to something else I'll do different in the future. But getting back to the point I was making, you know, we all got there, and so we had this section, you know, kind of sectioned off for us. And there was a group of folks that was sitting over in the corner, and I wasn't quite sure if they were part of the meetup or not. And then I got caught up, you know, meeting with other people, talking with other people, and there wasn't like an official greeter there really. And so it was almost too casual, because it turned out they were there for the meetup, but I think were a little bit shy to come say anything, and kind of said something at the end as they were leaving, like, "Hey, I really like your guys' show," but it was kind of in passing. I couldn't even get over to him quick enough to talk to him, and found out later from one of the bartenders who was working there that that was actually her dad, and he's a big fan of the show. And she was like, yeah, you know, he's kind of shy, so he didn't make it over there to talk to you. So that was kind of disappointing. But I got his address, and I'm sending him, we made these little coasters, these assembly call coasters. So I'm going to send him one and just, you know, just kind of let him know that, you know, wish we'd talked and hope he comes to the next one. So I think it probably would make sense to be a little bit more organized, have a little bit more structure next year so that no one, because it can be intimidating on both sides. It's intimidating for you. I mean, it's even intimidating for me, you know, kind of meeting these people and you know that they're going to have expectations for you having listened and now they're meeting you in person and, you know, you want to come across well and make a good first impression. And I think also it can be intimidating for the folks who come because they're with a whole bunch of different people that they don't know. And so, you know, if there isn't kind of a built-in way to break the ice or to grease conversation, you can have some situations like that. So that was probably the biggest lesson that I learned from this one and is a good reason to be a little bit more organized with it moving forward as hopefully it continues to grow. That's certainly the goal.
Right, exactly. And I wonder, like, if it's sort of like inherently a little, like you wouldn't have that issue that you had if you have a solo show because they're there to see you. They're there to see Jared or they're there to see me or whoever's the host, right? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you guys have multiple hosts, so you could be like, well, maybe they already talked to someone else or
yeah.
I don't know. It seems like it's kind of innately going to be a little bit more formal, even though it can be casual if it's one person, because obviously somebody gets there and they're going to want to at least say hi to you, I would think. Yeah. They probably wouldn't stay out of the group as much. But my thinking was to take it even another step further is like, what do we like, should we sort of, or should I, is the way I'm thinking about it, like, should I create some sort of like conversation around this that can like help people in some way? Like, should we talk about their businesses each for 10 minutes? But then I was like, oh, I hate sometimes getting to one of those. And it's like, I don't have anything ready. I don't want to talk, but now I have to. And it's, so I don't want to put somebody in that position. So this is all the stuff that goes through my head. And it's like, I want to run one of these, but they're also not the easiest thing sometimes.
So. No, they're not. And of course, it's going to depend on the numbers. You know, obviously, if 100 people are there to meet you, you know, it may be hard to have kind of a small group conversation and you're going to want to address everybody, obviously, as a group. And so that it can kind of depend. You know, I didn't want it to just be conversation. Obviously, the topic of our show, for those of you who don't know, it's a show about Indiana basketball. And so I didn't want it to just be kind of talk about the game, talk about the team. So I really tried, as I met people, as I talked with people, to kind of start the conversation talking about them because I wanted to learn about them. And, you know, obviously they wanted to learn about us and talk with us and let us know things about the show that they liked or get our opinions on this, that, or the other. But I didn't want to miss the opportunity to talk about them. And especially in a situation like that, which can be a little bit intimidating, again, on both sides, but, you know, looking at it from the perspective of an audience member who's there, you know, a lot of them will come and say nice things about you. Obviously, if they're coming to your show, tell you something they like about your show or a favorite episode they had, this, that, or the other. And that's all great. But don't use it as just an opportunity to hear great things about yourself. Make sure that you're really having conversations. That's what I really wanted to do, was have conversations to learn, you know, and like, what makes these people tick? Why do they listen to the show? Why do they care enough to stay up after an 8 o'clock game and listen to the show and come to this meetup? And it's interesting because I actually came up with a bunch of really good ideas for, you know, off-season episodes and other stuff that we can do based on really digging in and finding what was really at the core of everybody's interest. And I'll tell you the biggest thing that I learned is that, you know, yes, we're doing a show talking about a basketball game after it happens. And that's great. That's the subject of our show. But I think what we're really quote-unquote selling with the show is community. You know, It's a topic of conversation that people feel comfortable with, they're excited about, they're enthusiastic about, but they love it and they come back because there's a community of other people that share that interest. And this is the watering hole to talk about it. And both of these meetups have reinforced that. And not only does it give me more enthusiasm knowing that there's a higher purpose above and beyond what we're doing, just breaking down this basketball game, you know, it gives that meaning and makes sure that we don't lose sight of what the real reason is that people are there, you know? And so we've got to always make sure that we are fostering that community And again, I think there's some things that you're going to learn from in person. I know it's not possible for everybody to do that, like we've been able to do it. But man, if you get the opportunity, it is so rewarding, so worth it.
It's really interesting that you found out or made that sort of connection now that it's so much about community. Because you're right, you wouldn't like necessarily think that. You would think that people want like a summary and to hear other people talking about this basketball game they just watched.
And they do. Don't get me wrong. They do.
Of course.
And that has to be on point. And there are some people for whom that's all they care about. But those also aren't the people who are donating. Those aren't the people who are sharing. Those aren't the people who are coming back episode after episode. Those people are there for the something more. And those are the people that you want to, you know, pay the most attention to, care the most about, and try and usher people into that area, you know? So.
Right. It's really cool because you're right. Those aren't the people that would come out after a game, though. Like the people who want the community aspect of it and to know that they belong to this group. And it's probably why like your merchandise when you launched it last Christmas sold really well.
Yeah.
And you were like, wow, I didn't expect people to buy this much stuff. But it's their way of identifying now in public, especially, that they belong to this group that most people don't know exists. But you can well, it's true. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those things that where it's to me like liking small bands that most people aren't into. But when I go out somewhere and there's 10,000 people there and I see like one lady like wearing that band's shirt, it's like instantly I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
You are my type of person. I just know that. It doesn't like the whole goal isn't that, well, we can maybe convert all these people to like that band. No, that would actually ruin it. But it's right there that now that's the connection. If there was an assembly call t-shirt or hat or coffee mug across the bar from someone, like, and you were there randomly, that would be like, there they are. You could literally just go up to them and start talking to them and you have that common bond.
And hopefully it says something about them because our brand stands for something. That's what we want, you know? And it's funny because there were people at the meetup, you know, one guy's wearing a sweatshirt and you know, people had some of their stuff on, which was really cool. And, you know, for us, like we've always tried to be very specific. You know, obviously we are, you know, we love the university. Most of us are graduates of the university. You know, our show is always very supportive in spirit. We will critique and talk about things that went wrong, but always in a constructive manner to where you're never questioning, you know, do these guys actually like the team or not? When sometimes you listen to fans talk about their team and you wonder because it sounds like they just hate them. And, you know, so I think there's a level of kindness, there's a respectfulness just as a human being that you have when you are like that. And so, and it's funny because, you know, you meet all of these people and it's like everybody kind of shares these same ideals, whether they share them all the time or they're putting them on display in the group. Either way, you know, I have really appreciated seeing that because it's like, okay, this is what we stand for. All the people who we are attracting, these are our people. It's not like there was someone there who was just staunchly against or the opposite of what we were. And that's cool to see. And that's part of how I know that we've been on the right track with how we've been presenting ourselves, how we present our content. And speaking of presenting content, Johnny, I want to mention that the Showrunner is brought to you by the Rainmaker platform, the complete solution for digital marketing and sales. Grow your audience and email list faster. Build profitable marketing automation, killer landing pages, and membership programs, plus sell online courses, digital products, and much more with Rainmaker. The Rainmaker platform helps you focus on your business and stop worrying about the technology that you need to succeed. Start building your own digital marketing and sales platform today. Begin your free 14-day trial at rainmaker.fm/platform. That's rainmaker.fm/platform. Here's the other cool thing that came out of the meetup, Johnny, which is that you know, when you get around your people and when you kind of get out in this social space, opportunities sometimes will present themselves that you never think of. So we announced that we were going to do the meetup at this bar. And one of the bar, she's a bartender and a server at this bar, you know, happened to see that. And she's on our email list. She really likes the show. And so she emailed me and said, hey, you know, I'll be there. You know, I'll try and be the server for your section, you know, so I can say hi. And so she ended up not being the server in our section, but she was the bartender that night. So I went over and said hi to her. And she ended up telling her manager that they should broadcast our show live at the bar after games. She's like, you know, because they get a big audience for the game. And she's like, you know, I love this show. It's an awesome show. We should do this. And so had a conversation with the manager And next thing I know, not the show that's going to happen the night we're recording this, but our next show, the next time she's working, because she's going to set it all up, they're going to broadcast it at the bar. And then she emailed me again today, and she was like, hey, you know, I've been thinking about this, how we can even further promote it with the show on there. We can make t-shirts with the bar name on the front, your logo on the back, and all the servers can wear them during the games and during the show afterwards. And I'm like, yeah, like that's awesome. So, and none of this would have happened, you know, if we hadn't kind of put ourselves in that situation to go out and meet and just be in kind of this different environment. And now there's this cool thing happening that, and it looks like next year we're going to have the event at the same place and actually try to do a live broadcast from there, which is going to be awesome, you know? So I just think, again, I sound like a broken record, but if you get, and you may not be able to do a big meetup like what we did, but even if it's just coffee with one audience member, which I've done on behalf of the showrunner and the digital entrepreneur and all the shows that I host, I've never regretted it. I've never not gotten something out of it. It's never not exceeded my expectations. And if that's the one thing that you take from this episode, make it that, you know, if and when you can, I know everybody's schedules are different, everyone's situations are different, everyone's comfort level with this kind of thing is different. But if you can make yourself available for these types of opportunities, it can be a huge benefit to you, a huge benefit to the audience, and have unintended positive results that you can't even predict, which we're experiencing right now. And it's awesome.
Right. Maybe we can predict it. I wonder. So as you were explaining this, and then have you built this audience who are like loyal to you, loyal to the brand of it and wanting to be part of the community. It made me think back to the whole like four pillars of being a showrunner, right? Which is what you guys have at the Assembly Call, right? Authenticity, usefulness, sustainability, obviously after four or five or six seasons, whatever it is now, and profitability, which you just discovered in, I think that was season five, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you did that because you guys stuck it out. You were absolutely authentic to yourselves, to the team, to the brand, and to the fans, and obviously useful. And so I actually, as you were explaining that, I went to the sales page for the showrunner course, and under authenticity, usefulness, sustainability, profitability, it says the loyal audience you develop and your commitment to serving your listeners will become your unfair business advantage. Which is cool, because if another show had come up even in the last year or two and tried to approach that same bar to do what you now get to do, they wouldn't get to do it. Right. Because you've built up this loyal audience following those four pillars.
Yeah, and it gave us an advocate there that we never could have anticipated, but who proved irresistible, right? Because her recommendation to the manager of the bar was like, oh yeah, okay, we'll do this. Yeah, let's do it. And it, like you said, if we had just gone in there and said that, they would have been like, well, you know, probably not. But because we had that loyal audience member who was saying it, I mean, that goes so far, you know, those individual recommendations, that social proof, and that stuff all just builds on itself and starts to snowball in a really positive way.
Exactly. And that whole sustainability thing. So when Jared and I are talking about like getting to meet your audience members, whether it's in a like a big meeting like Jared got to do or it's coffee, these things take a long time. Like Jared did his first one at season five of his show. Yeah. This wasn't like he started and 2 months later, like, hey, I want to have a meetup at a bar and like 50 people are going to come. That's not how it worked.
And we, you know, and part of that was just logistics, because I lived in Dallas, Andy's in Cincinnati, Ryan's in San Diego. So trying to get all of us in Bloomington at the same time was difficult. You know, if we had lived closer, we might have been able to do it sooner. And that's, you know, so everybody's going to have different, you know, givens, different logistical situations that might make it easier or harder. We certainly would have liked to do it sooner than that. But that was just, you know, that was the earliest that we were able to do it.
Right. And it could also be argued discussed around the fact that maybe it's quote unquote easier for you because you guys have a geographically specific show. Yeah. So therefore, like, it's not like just a random city in the middle of America and hopefully I have 20 listeners in this one spot.
Yes.
So, but that's still irrelevant, right? Because I met my first listeners. It was just over a year. My show had been publishing 3 days a week. And I did that drive across the country and I announced it on my show a few times. And I had coffee with like three different listeners across in different cities. But there was one, like there was one listener in Seattle. There was one listener here. And that's totally cool. That's perfectly fine. And if you're close enough to a big enough city and you've been doing it for a year at three episodes a week, or you've been doing it for 5 years, you'll probably start getting enough to have coffee with somebody or coffee with two people or three people. I just don't want people to be like turned away of the fact that it sounds implausible that I could meet at a bar with 50 people or 75 people.
No. And let's also point out the power of leveraging other people's meetups for your own, which we did for the showrunner when we went to Podcast Movement. We didn't organize that, you know, Podcast Movement, but we met there with a lot of showrunner listeners at the time. And also realizing that as great as an in-person meeting is, and it is, and there is something different about, you know, sitting across the table from someone and being in the same room with them. But again, even if that's not possible, Skype and Zoom and, well, I guess not Blab anymore, but, you know, all of these different, you know, technologies that allow you to even do it online, but just being able to have that one-on-one conversation, not from microphone through headphones at some, you know, random time in the future, but across from each other right now, you and me, or you or me and several of you, and I can see you and I can see us interact and we're having a real conversation. I mean, whatever level you go to, whatever level you can go to, it's all beneficial. It's all beneficial. And it is, I mean, I can't think of a better way to take that next step in terms of the relationship with your audience and the engagement with your audience than those interpersonal opportunities, whether they are online, offline, however they come. They're just so valuable.
I love it. So this intro turned into a whole episode.
Yeah, so what's the headline for this one going to be? The one that the ad-libbed episode, the one where we scrap everything? you know the irony, you know what the irony is? Here's the great irony. So the headline for this one, and I assume this would be the headline for next week's, is one podcast, one audience, one topic, right? And we had that one topic heading into this episode, and we just totally scrapped it.
We did.
But that's okay. The reason we can ad lib is because, you know, the showrunner is, it is one podcast geared to one audience, and we're, you know, we hone in on this topic of showrunning. So it's easy to have a passionate, engaged conversation about this topic or about any topic when the opportunity presents itself. And the timing worked out for this one.
But coming up next week, tune in for episode 85, one podcast, one audience, or one topic. Or Jared might have another intro that leads into a whole show. Either way.
You won't know unless you tune in. Hey, so we have a new call to action. And I want you to explain this because you have been, and so has Will. Kudos to Will. But you guys have been really hard at work putting this together. And I'm really excited about it. And I know you are too.
We have a new, I'm going to say tool or two to help you with your show running experience. And you can get it at showrunner.fm/report. We created a report called the, I'm lost.
The Beginner's Guide to Launching a Remarkable Podcast, I think.
Yeah. So maybe we need to rewrite this.
We will, but finish the call to action for this episode. Unless we want to edit it.
Yeah, we kind of do, I think, because that was terrible. Just wondering.
But we never edit for the audience. So here's the lesson. Here's the lesson, okay? We didn't write any of this. Right. We didn't write any of this, but particularly the call to action. And so even when you're, you know, experienced and have done this for a while, like, we can obviously ad-lib the episode because it's just two guys talking. And that's why you turn into the showrunner. That's what we want this to be. And so that's why sometimes we just run with a topic when it's good. You probably don't want to leave your call to action to chance. And you just heard why. Because it comes out as a jumbled, garbled, incoherent, not able to be acted upon mess. So please forgive our mess. We will clean it up in the future and write out this call to action better. Okay, but we can at least use that as a teaching tool.
All right, that's true. And this is kind of a teaching tool too, because I have been busy with Will because I was frustrated with our call to action. It had been repetitive and the same and not actionable enough. And so
wanted and we to were going through the motions saying it too, which
right.
is,
and,
you know,
and I wanted to make something that was more useful to you to take action on show running. So we put together what we had and we created some more things. So there's two reasons why you could join this, but I'll get to those in a second. But first, here's the call to action. Go to showrunner.fm/report. To become a showrunner, you need to deliver a remarkable audio experience. And we want to teach you how for free. Join the showrunner email list today and immediately receive your step-by-step guide to becoming a showrunner with the beginner's guide to launching a remarkable podcast, a comprehensive report that includes why right now is the perfect time to start a podcast, your 15-step launch plan, and 6 podcast monetization methods you can act on today. Go to showrunner.fm/report and sign up today.
Perfect.
So if you are looking to start a show or to take your show to the next level, go to showrunner.fm/report. If you've already happened to have read this report, but you want to see how an email funnel can work, we set up a whole brand new email funnel. This is the second kind of teaching part, which I think we should do probably a whole episode on this. But there's actually a 22-day email sequence behind this now, where Jared and I kind of give our stories to you and then also teach you in a short video series about how to launch a remarkable show. And then we might have something special at the end of that. But to check out all of that and to see how we do it with the Rainmaker platform and with Rainmail directly entwined in it. And then how we do that to not only build our email list, but also to teach you and to deepen the relationship with you as a email funnel from a podcast call to action. So if either of those fit you, then go to showrunner.fm/report.
I have to say, you recovered very well and delivered a great call to action.
Thanks.
Nice work.
We'll make it shorter next time.
Yeah, that's okay. There was a lot to explain. It's new. And people are used to the same call to action over and over again. They're probably as bored with it as we are. So
yeah.
This is a good time to, you know, spend a little bit more time, explain it. This is something really good. I mean, you're going to want this report. You know, I put together one of these videos. You put together a couple of them. I just got done reading the email that you wrote where you tell your story. And I know you were a little bit scared that it was too long. It wasn't. It was great. And that's, you know, part of that funnel. So I think folks who listen to this show are really going to get a lot out of it. So I really recommend it. Showrunner.fm/report. And again, kudos to Will, who's done a lot of work on this. And maybe at some point when we talk about putting all of this together, which we use Rainmaker for, we'll bring Will on and get some of his insight too. Who Will has also built, you know, his own audience. And I think we'll have some interesting insights that he's learned from that experience too, because he's a showrunner. So it's glad that he's helping us out with this now. So thank you, Will. Thank you, Johnny. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Showrunner. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.
I was trying to see
I'll be better rested next week.
I was trying to see how low I can get my voice.
Yeah, it's hard to know sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if I can go lower or just if I'm going slower.
Sometimes I just like to hear my voice low because now with a new baby, I spend so much time with a high-pitched voice.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah. It's good to know that I can still talk
yes,
like this.
Yes, I can. Good, I can still do this.
So that was the longest intro ever. Now for the main topic.
Yeah.
I was trying to see how low I can get my voice. Yeah, it's hard to know sometimes. I don't know. I don't know if I know more. Just to be clear.